All right, let's continue our discussion today on the matter of the fruitful life. Last week, I began to talk about the faith of Abraham, and I'm going to continue on that today by reading first from the book of Romans chapter 4. We read that one last time. Today, I won't read so much of it so as to save our time. The book of Romans chapter 4. There's just one verse there that's very important to our discussion, but we'll just read a few verses around it. Let's just start from verse 10. Now, he was talking about the justification of Abraham by faith. I will start from verse 10. He said, how then was he reckoned, that is his righteousness, while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? The answer is not while circumcised, but while he was yet uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, the righteousness might be reckoned to them. In verse 12 it says, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. The emphasis there is the word steps. That is, there are steps to the faith of Abraham. Like I said before, faith has steps. Faith is something that is invisible and is in the heart. But outwardly, all right, there will be manifestations of it to let you know that faith is in the heart. There are two kinds of faith, James said. There is a living faith and there is what? A dead faith. Faith that is... Now, let me say it this way. You cannot tell whether your faith is living or dead. Faith cannot be demonstrated as living or dead except by the works that it produces. And that was why James said concerning the faith of Abraham that his works were cooperating with the faith, with his faith, and by the works the faith was perfected. Now what he was saying by that is simple, that a man's faith is inconsequential except it produces certain kinds of works. Are you getting my point? And those are the things that Abraham and Paul spoke here about the faith of Abraham, talking about the steps of the faith of Abraham. Why are we explaining this? We have said before that the life of the believer is dictated by what? Or controlled by promises. That what you are going to experience in life, those things are based upon the fact that God promised that you will have them. That, listen, life has different spheres. Let me quickly get into that, all right? Explaining it in it again. We said them here and there, all right? In previous times. But listen to this. Life has different spheres. Do you follow what I'm saying? You choose the sphere of life you want to operate in. The laws of each sphere are different. Now, let me say that again. There are different spheres of operations of life. Each person chooses the sphere he wants to operate in. You know, there's what the Bible calls the law of the spirit of life. We discussed that, all right, which is found in Christ Jesus. It is for those who are operating in a certain sphere where the spirit of Christ is dominant. Let me explain this to you. I was saying something last time. I said, if I continue, people wonder whether I'm practicing metaphysics. And I said something that some of the people who study those things, all right, it's like you go and study physics, you study chemistry. Are you getting what I'm saying? You study geography. Now, whether you're a Christian or a Muslim, all right, physics is physics. I hope you get my point, all right? If the Muslim takes a magnet, all right, with the... Is it magnets that have north and south pole? All right. If they take the south pole of a magnet, all right, and you try to put it on the south pole of another magnet, it will repel. Whether you're a Christian or a Muslim, all right, that's physics. Now, I'm going to explain something. The Christian atom has neutrons and protons and electrons. The Muslim atom, the same thing. Now, listen to this. We discussed this at the beginning, and there are spiritual laws like that. These spiritual laws also operate in that fashion. It affects everybody. Listen, the spiritual realm above the life of the of everybody, Muslim, Christian, or Hindu, they are the same thing. They are the same things. So people can learn those things. It doesn't mean you are spiritual. Please understand what I'm saying. You know, if you have ever read some of the materials of those who want to teach metaphysics and spiritual things, they make it look as if they are saying some things that are outrageous. Now, to most people, those things are like that. They are new. You've never heard of them before. So they shock you. And so you see a Guru Maharaj show up in your secondary school. It's happened to me before when I was in school. And begins to tell you about heavens and the chords of life and all of those things. And because you've never heard of them, all right, you are overwhelmed. Do Do you get my point? And if you've gone to most churches where the pastor doesn't know much, I don't mean that as an insult, he just didn't learn it, all right? But he's anointed, okay? So he just knows the Bible. And sometimes some people will react and say that those things are of the devil. Now, listen to me, let me say this again. I am not recommending you go and start studying them. But you see, they are not as of the devil as people say. They are more of a waste of time. I don't know whether you get my point. They are more of what? A waste of time. The fact is that a man decides to go and learn how to dissect the anatomy of the spiritual realm. Okay, fine, when you are finished. If he doesn't show you the light of Christ, you have missed your way. You have wasted your time. Now, that's what confuses some people. Because you see, a lot of Christians will come and say, those things are not true. They are true. And that's why I said sometimes Christians can't minister to some people. Because the man knows what he's saying is true. You don't know, have any idea about it, so you think he's lying. But you see, if you had understanding, oh God, God gave me understanding about that long ago. You understand why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That thing was not a bragging matter. He was giving help to all those who are studying realms of the spirit so that they might be able to tap into life that is found in God. Jesus said, wait, that's not the way. You can learn it from now till tomorrow. In fact, he told the Pharisees that, you see, it doesn't even work by reading the scriptures. He said, you cite the scriptures, thinking that in them you will have what? Eternal life. You didn't come to me. Life is in a person. It's not in the pages of the Bible. Life is in a person. It's just that when you have encountered that person, he gives you his document that describes what the life that you have encountered will do for you. If you hold your father's will, assuming your father was very, very wealthy and he passed away a few years ago, and he left you all kinds of things, all right? That paper is not a house, you know that. That paper, that's called the will, is not investments. That paper doesn't really contain, it doesn't have anything in itself. But it will tell you that my account in Barclays Bank containing 75 million pounds, I give you everything. Now, the paper is not money, but it tells you where to find your money. Do you get my point? And it gives you the power to claim the money as yours. You can't arrange the paper on a tree and leave under it and say, my father left me a house. Can you say that? But it tells you the address of the house and says, this is your right to the house. So the will, therefore, gives you what? The right to the things that are real, that are tangible. That's what the scriptures are. Now, somebody cannot decide that, ever since Chuku Bike got that paper, the boy doesn't trek anymore. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to collect that paper from here and photocopy it and start reading it. Or we will steal the paper. If you steal the paper, will the houses become your own? It won't. Because the paper is a description for what is real. Do you get my point? And that's what Jesus was telling the Pharisees. You are reading the paper. You are reading the will when you are not the son of the father. And you think by reading the will, the things will automatically become yours. Doesn't work like that. He said, whosoever received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. And then the paper suddenly makes meaning in their lives. Until that time, it's just paper. You are following what I'm saying? You follow what I'm saying? So in the same manner, some people will go around studying those things, thinking that by studying them, all right, talking about those who are not of the Jewish heritage, all right, who are just studying spiritual laws, all right, they read those things and they start saying, they want to learn to control life. Maybe I want to give you a hypothetical realm, all right, a hypothetical situation. Let's assume there's a sphere of life called sphere XYZ. It's a spiritual thing. Listen to me, that sphere exists in the above everybody. That is, it's around in life. So a man sits down there and learns the operations of the sphere of life. It's a spiritual sphere. So he now goes around teaching those now. Please, he goes around teaching those things. And explains to you that if you wake up in the morning and face the south, and you speak these words with your fingers crossed, are you getting my point? Having not eaten for 3 days, all right? You connect, you close your eyes and begin to think about some things that you will discover that one young woman you have always liked suddenly start liking you. Guys, Are you hearing me? And when you were in secondary school, you know, you were 15, you were 16. It was a very easy way to make people like you. So you bought, they told you send money, and they will post it to your house. You read the books. They said the introductions to the realm of the spirit, because as recorded by the ancient and mystical order of the rose and the cross. They say Amok. I had a discussion about that with somebody recently, about talking about Amok. He was trying to explain some principles to me that, look, those things are real. Now, I'm happy I even brought up that issue now. Because the issue, I'm not saying they are not. We learn some things that are, like I said, a waste of time. You cross your leg, you try to manipulate events in life, all right, by operations of certain laws, which you now feel holy and righteous. You buy a red robe and start wearing it. Why? Because you're in the midst of ignoramuses, people who don't know anything. You suddenly feel spiritual. And really, you know, some of those things, you practice them, it appears like they are working. You can sit in the corner of your house, you suddenly want to remind somebody who's across the world of something, and they tell you how to concentrate and lock with the person. Now, on the internet, we do that now, chat, live chatting. Don't you do it on Yahoo? You do it. Now, let me tell you the truth. Those things existed long ago in the realm of the spirit. I saw a book by Tuesday Lopes and Rank by that time. He described what they call psychometry. How to read a paper containing letters that you do not understand by using the tips of your fingers. And I laughed. My wife said, it's not necessary. If I don't know the letter, what's my problem? I throw it away. It's not my letter. Once, I read somebody describe something. I don't know which of the books I read it. He said, this man I mentioned once in a while, Buddha, that he was walking beside the river one day, and he saw a man who said he had practiced what they call austerity for 20 years. It's a form of their practices. And at the end of 20 years, he learned how to walk across the river. That he walked on top of water across the river. And Buddha looked at him and said, what a waste of 20 years. Why didn't you just get a shilling and a fairy would have done it for you? I use that to illustrate what I call a waste of time. Amok, that's how they initiate young people. They start teaching them things of the basic spheres of the spiritual realm. And these things appear to work. And the person, because he was born in ignorance and grew up in knowing nothing, he's impressed. And that's what I want to explain to people, believers. Don't be impressed. It's nothing. It's like maybe you're a child, they come to do a science show, and they are turning liquid from black to white. Black to white, because they are pouring chemicals and you're excited. I remember my younger brother now, who's now an electronic engineer today, working in a telecom company. When he was a child, I remember, I was much senior to him. I was in secondary school while he was still running around naked. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Actually, he was born while I was in secondary school, so you understand what I mean. All right, so one day I was joining wires, and to his amazement, I would join wire, light to come on, I would disconnect wire, light to go off. The guy opened mouth. I'm sure if I remind him of that incident now, he will be shocked like at the amount of foolishness he was demonstrating. But it's not his fault he was a child. As he grew up, he realized that what is the nonsense this my brother was even doing that day. Any jack can do it. Do you follow what I'm saying? He realized that any jack can do it. And then, you know, the more he grew, now he can do things I can't do. It doesn't mean he's a spirit. It just means he's an engineer. That is all it means. So you see people, they go and learn some of this. Now, I'm not because those things are just basic, just like physics, except that they are not in these realms. I mean, there are people who have demonstrated some things that are very common. You can be in a crowd and somebody is looking at you. Suddenly you turn and look at the person back. You don't know why you did. How many times have your friends showed up at the door before they knock? Suddenly you think of the person. There are people you have not thought about in months. Then one day, how is this guy? 2 minutes after that, your phone rings and he's the one that's on the line. Listen, they are not coincidences. The fact is that in the realm of the spirit, we communicate. Ed Cole said there are 3 ways by which men communicate. By words, by gesture, and by spirit. Words, I'm talking to you. But if I talk throughout and my 2 hands are down, you know, he has a different impression. He has a different effect. But as I gesticulate and talk and move, it's part of my speech. That's why when you are watching a video, all right, it has a different effect than from when you are watching, we are listening. Because there are things I will say halfway and I finish with my fingers. The people who are not watching it don't hear that one. But you heard it. You will never know I use my fingers to finish it. It's called communicating by gesture. And as Cole said, the third one is communicating by spirit. Let me tell you, it's a simple story there that he used to illustrate it, which you all know. He said one day one of his friends called him and said, "Man of God, I have a problem." "What is the problem?" He said, "Adulterous thoughts have been coming to his mind." And the man, he said, "This is a holy and righteous man." So for him to call his friend a pastor, that what's going on, the thoughts of extramarital affairs coming through my mind so much. And God told him simply, "Look around the office. What's happening?" He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Look around the office." He said, "Your secretary, is he a man or a woman?" He said, "It's a woman." "What is she like?" He said, "She's married. She's a pastor's wife." "Is there anything strange about her?" He said, "Now that you're mentioning it, I noticed that in recent times, her dressing has changed. Her clothes has only become, clingier, smarter. She's looking nicer, And Edco told a friend, he said, "You know what? You know what's happening? She's sending you vibes. You are just picking them up." The man said, "What?" He said, "Yes. That the world knows about it. It's called chemistry." He said, "You are picking up her vibrations. That's why you're worried that what's going on." So the man said, "What do I do?" He said, "You have a choice of two. Either fire her or resign the job." He said, "That's the only thing that will solve it. You either move out of that office or you leave the office." It's called communicating by spirit. I'm not talking about the details. I just want to bring out an issue. As Cole said, there are three ways people communicate: by words, by gesture, and by what? Spirit. I've been married now, right? 10 years in another few weeks. To be 10 years exactly. Since I'm married. Over the years, my wife will testify. Communication by spirit, she can give you several testimones. There are times both of us, we were just in there, we're not talking. Then I suddenly start saying something. Say, "How did you know what I was going to say?" Several times my wife will come and say, "Guess what happened today?" I will tell her exactly what happened. They say, "This man." In fact, that one used to happen a lot. She will come home with something. So guess how much I bought this thing? I'll say 1,650 naira. Such an odd figure. And she will stand and look. "How did you know?" I say, "I don't know. The words just came out of my mouth." And believe me, accurate. I just hit it on the head. "Mom, if it was 2,000, 1,000 different." "No, it will be one odd figure. I'll just reel out maybe 1,650. It's called communicating by what? Spirit. And the more you associate with somebody, the more finely tuned to each other your spirits become. But let me not sit on that. What I'm trying to bring out from there is that there are spiritual laws. Now listen to me. It doesn't mean I'm a spiritual man. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. A spiritual man, according to the Bible, is a man who focuses and wraps his life around the word of God and through the word of God interprets the events of his life. That is a spiritual man. Witches are in the spirit, but they are not spiritual. You understand what I'm saying? A spiritual man, according to the scriptures, is the man who uses the word of God to direct his life. Who mingles himself with the spirit of Christ. That's the person that is the spirit. The Bible calls the spiritual man. The fact that you know some laws of the realm of the spirit doesn't make you spiritual. Please don't get carried away by a grail messenger who comes to come and entice you. If you've seen magicians explain their trade, you too can be a magician. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. I just need to emphasize that thing because it confuses a lot of people. Because a man has learned the laws of the spirit and is operating by them. It's just like you bought a machine when nobody else knew how to operate it. You understood some things about technology and you can bamboozle everybody. That's all. It doesn't mean you are spiritual. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear. So, you see, I started all of this by trying to explain the fact that life has spheres. There are spheres of events, of things in life. Okay? And then you choose the sphere you want to operate by. If you are dominated by the physical realm, there's an effect it will have in your life. There are those who have reduced the impact the physical things are having on them, and they use more of spiritual operations than the things that are in the realm of the spirit. But why am I talking about all of this? Believers live in a particular sphere. I'll get to that sphere in a moment. Let me explain some more things about this sphere thing. The laws of each sphere that you live in, all right, they are amplified in your experience. Because of your decisions. You know what I mean by that? You can begin to harass people with your thoughts. And it will be exciting that people are noticing the things that you are thinking. Do you follow what I'm saying? All right? It will be amplified. That's why, you see, all those books that people spread around, Lobsang Rampa used to write a lot of those days, published by Kogi. Then, if you ever saw the monographs, it was very common before, because I talked to one of my colleagues, his father had them. I noticed that when I was young also, I saw them in my house. So it was very common those days, Amok, they moved into Nigeria and tried to teach a lot of young people. So a lot of those things. All right? Now, the more people settled on them, do you understand? The more they understood and experienced the operations of those fears. Let me say it again. It doesn't mean you're spiritual. It doesn't even mean you are evil. It just means you are jobless. Do you get my point? It means that you not get work. Because the more you operate it, no matter how much you operate it, listen. Oh, I'll show you a scripture later. The Bible said that every man's labor is for his belly. He said, yet the mouth is not satisfied. He said, what advantage is it to a wise man? What advantage it is to a poor man that he knows how to walk before the living? You know what he's saying? That if a man's wise, he claims he's wise, yet he does not. Now, you know the first thing he said? Every man's labor is for what? His mouth. He said, now, what is the advantage of the wise man or of the poor man? What is the advantage to him when he says that he knows wisdom? I don't know whether you understand that. Let me decode it. What it means is this. If all you claim you are very smart, you know things, yet the results your life desires, you don't get it, you're fooling yourself. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. Have you seen people who settle down? They don't have anything. They can't eat properly. They don't have a house. Their wife left them. Everybody had deserted them. And they'll be telling stories of those days they used to do this. They were very smart in this. They describe all the wisdom of life in their head. So Solomon said, the man wasted time. You acquire degrees, acquire degrees, acquire degrees. You can't get a decent job. You can't produce anything for anybody. You should know you are wasting time going to school. Wrong focus. I tell you, don't acquire degree for degree's sake. Acquire degree because you are learning. Do you understand my point? In the process of learning, the hand. Not that you just say, okay, they will write 17 things after your name. You're only you. What do you do really to bless anybody? We don't know. Every degree in front of your name should be affecting the way you relate with people. Not just the fact that you're a big guy. What I mean is this. If you see somebody, they say, BSc engineering. That should mean it should be engineering something for somebody. I don't know. Are you getting my point? If you see somebody, say his name, MBBS. Now put title, doctor in front of him. He means if he is sick, you see him. Not all this one that politicians are all doctors, they call honoris causa. Justice of peace that's catching peace everywhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, why that God on top of that? I'm trying to explain something. A lot of those things, people just settled that, all right? What, that's what Solomon was saying. Okay, you have finished learning all the laws of a certain sphere of the spirit. For a child of God, listen to this. I used this one to preach many years ago. Sorry, many months ago. Using that same scripture. Every man's labor is for his mouth, all right? For his belly. Now, Jesus now said that my food is what? To do the will of him that sent me. And to finish his work. That is, every wisdom that you claim to have must be improving your ability to do the will of God for your life. Do you understand my point? For those of you around on Tuesday, I explained something. That during the week, this book that has been so much talked about was a bestseller. 48 Laws of Power. Alright? I was in an office. We were having a meeting. So it was on the table. So I picked it while the meeting was boring to me. So I was reading it while the meeting was going on. After going through it a bit, I realized that this book is designed for those who are evil in their heart. Anybody who practices the things written in that book, the person is a crazy man, spiritually. He's looking for God's judgment. The laws there, are they working? Did they work? They do work. The book should have been called 48 Laws of Manipulating People. That would have been the beautiful name for that book. 48 Procedures for Manipulation. 48 Ways to Do Evil in the Life of Other People to Your Own Advantage. 48 Ways to Wreck Other People's Life That You Might Prosper. 48 Ways to Incur the Wrath of God in Your Life. That would have been a better title for the book. Why did I give us an illustration? You can know all the principles, the 48 laws. How does it improve your ability to do the will of God for your life? Do you understand what I'm saying? If it doesn't, Solomon said, what advantage? That is, in the will of God, you are poor. What advantage is it that a poor man has, saying he knows how to walk discreetly before the living? So you can see that there are spheres of life, I said. You can live in the sphere of 48 laws of power. and it will bring to you the corruption that God has attached to those manipulative tendencies. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. I'm saying so many things, trying to just get to one particular issue. So the spheres of life, let me say that again. There is one sphere in which the law of the spirit of life, which is found in Christ Jesus, works. Listen to this. Natural sphere may tell you that this is how your genes are arranged and you should die. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you now say, okay, I'm not living in this sphere. I move into a different sphere. And that sphere says, well, here we don't operate by what natural laws say. We operate by what the promises of God say. Therefore, the natural laws may say, once a woman passes the age of 40-something, 50, she can't bear children anymore. Or a but, when God speaks to her husband and her, and says that you shall have a son, even though she's 90, she'll still have that child. Because here, we are operating by the law of the spirit of life, which is found only in Christ Jesus. We are not operating by natural laws. Are you getting the point? When natural law says there's famine everywhere, therefore everybody move down to Egypt, it makes sense. Movement makes sense. But then the spiritual law now says, listen, dwell in the land and cultivate that land. Don't move like everybody else to Egypt, and your name is Isaac, and you obey that law. Listen, the spiritual law of the spirit of life that's found in Christ Jesus is activated by obedience to the word of God. That is what the Bible calls spiritual. When they say a man is spiritual, as opposed to being carnal, it means he's discovering the will of God and operating by the word of God. The Bible says that angels hearken to the voice of his word. We discussed that on Tuesday. You continue to speak what God is saying. Angels rearrange events in the natural realm to satisfy that which God has commanded. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, look, one of the things you do in life as a believer, by everybody, you make your choice. Am I going to live my life naturally or am I going to live my life spiritually? That's it. What does it mean to live your life spiritually? It means to interpret your destiny based upon the promises of God. That's what it means. So, God will look, said, though your beginning be small, yet your latter end shall greatly increase. That is, no matter what natural things say, that's what you will experience. I said there are different spheres in life. You get up and move to a different sphere. You make up your mind, this is the sphere I want to live in. I want to live by the word of God. That's my sphere. I want to live by the promises of God. That's my sphere. And what we are doing in concluding this whole series is talking about what? How to activate those promises. As you know, we read the scripture, I just was trying to explain some things. That's why I moved into that sphere matter. This Romans chapter 4 that we read here, it said that the steps of Abraham, they have what? The faith of Abraham has what? Steps. And I said, you have promises. Listen, your destiny is determined by promises. Before you did anything, do you follow? Your destiny was determined once you believed in Christ Jesus. The word was released before you believed. Your faith only activates that which is already recorded. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. I've said this so many times, I'm sure you're almost tired of hearing it. Let me say it again. The believer doesn't promise because he worked, prosper because he worked hard. He doesn't prosper because he gave, you know. No, that's not why. He prospers because of what? The promise of God that is upon his life. It's the cause of his prosperity. Promise. What he does in his life is activate the promises. That's why two people can walk and walk and walk, walk in the same places. If you're not blessed, you're not blessed. You'll meet with accidents. Things will just be going wrong. But for one person, that's the reason. The work is a laboring against a curse which God released upon the earth because of the sin of Adam, and which men connect with because of their own sin. So he's laboring against the curse. Curse is the earth because of you. So he works hard. He only attains results by the sweat of his brow. But another man is working as an activation of his promise. Are you getting my point? For example, Isaac is sown in that land in the same year that he reaped 100-fold. All right? That year that he sowed, people were running away from that same land. But God said something. He said, once I utter a word, he said, my spirit will go out and gather its fulfillment. So you see two of them labor. One man is laboring as a cursed man. The other one is laboring as what? A blessed man. As activating his blessings. Very important too. The steps of Abraham, that's what I began to discuss last time. Let me just conclude it. You know, when I was finishing last time, I brought out three different things. I said there are three spiritual activities that we use as believers to activate our promises. You know, when I was thinking, as I realized that, it's the same thing, Seth, that I was calling the steps of Abraham, but I used two different expressions, all right, last time. I tended to separate those things from the steps of Abraham, but they are the same thing. I started by discussing the fact that Abraham was ready to go. Remember that? What does it mean to be ready to go? Listen, it's just an application of the fact that you realize that your blessing is not tied to material things. That's what it means that Abraham was ready to go. People love security too much. This job is secure. This place is secure. That's because you think that that's where blessing is coming from. God says something. He said, I'm God and there is none else. Why would he make a statement? Have you ever thought there was somebody else? Why would he make a statement like that? I am God and there is none else. Let me say it to you again. The reason is because the word God is a title. What did I say? It's a title. God just means the person I look to for prosperity. God means the person I look to for abundance. God means the person I look to for protection. God means the person I look to for the security for my future. That's the meaning of the word God. Who am I serving? Who am I afraid of? Who am I trying to offend? Trying not to offend? When I do things, who? Whoever that is called God. Forget the name you call him. That is who your God is. So when God will say, I am God and there is none else, that's what he was trying to explain. He will come to the children of Israel, come to the believer in Christ Jesus like you and say, I am God and there is none else. You know what it means? Up till now, you thought your boss was God. You thought if he fired you, you would die. So you would do everything to please him so that he won't fire you. You thought America was God. If you don't get there, you won't prosper. So you've sold your father's land, sold your mother's jewelry, sold everything because you want to buy a visa. Because you think America is God. And God said, listen to me, idiot. I am God and there is none else. You're getting what I'm going to explain? That's the meaning of the word God. I'm going back to school. Why? I want to go and get another degree. Very nice. Do you sell degrees? No. Well, you trade in degrees? No. What do you want to do with it? You want to go and get another one? I've been looking for a job for the last 3 years. I have not been able to find. Degree is God. That's what I'm saying when I say that. And God said, no, I'm God and there's none. Look, I need to keep emphasizing this into us. What makes you different from the unbeliever is that the Bible says that be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why are you doing what you are doing? It's what the Bible calls mind. How are you interpreting the events of your life? It's what the Bible calls mind. Why are you going to get another degree? Because without it, I can't get a job. Without it, I will not make it in life. Listen. I use my wife as an example. My wife is not planning to look for a job. It's not even possible. She has passed the place in life of looking for a job. What she's looking for now is who will work for her. Yet, she has to go back to school. You know the interesting thing? The moment my wife resigned from working in the bank, that was when she enrolled for MBA. Is it not funny? That was the very month she enrolled for MBA. Because the reason why I said go to school, why we agreed to go to school, is different from looking for a job. You don't have to need a job to go and get a degree. You don't have to need a job. It's not because of the paper. It's because of the learning. If I see a place, as an example, it will surprise some people if I say this. Let's assume they have a very good school around in Enugu where they do maybe a diploma in theology, and I see their course content, and they're going to teach me some things about the scriptures that I feel I don't know. I can enroll. I'm not going for ordination anywhere for your information. No, I'm not. But there are just things I may want to learn, and they are teaching. And that's why even though you can't go to a school to get a degree, you can get a degree at home and they won't give you a paper for it. But you have the knowledge. I am God, there is none else. I just feel like talking about that. A young woman came to me once, I've told her story once or twice. And she said to me that she was looking for a job. And I'd helped her with some things in previous time, that's why she came back. I said, well, this time around, I can't help you. I helped her when she was a student. She said, well, she's been looking for work for 2 years now, she wants to go back to school. And I remember what I told her. Why do you want to go back to school? She said, so I can get another job, get a good job. I said, wait, who's going to pay? Right now, you don't have money. As I'm looking at you, you don't have money. So who are you going to harass and disturb to pay fees for another year or two while you acquire another degree that you're not sure will get you another job or get you a good one? So I asked her a simple question. What can you do? What job is about work, you know? Do you understand my point? It's not about a roll call. Presenter. That's not what it's about. It's about what? Working. What is working? Blessing somebody. So I asked her simply, what can you do? How many of you have read the story or heard the story, or at least you know the name, Rough and Tumble? The clothing, children's clothing line made in Nigeria. The woman started Rough and Tumble because she needed clothes for her children. And she wanted good ones, and they were expensive. She decided to make them. After making them, people liked them. So she made some more. Cut a long story short, she's now a multi-millionaire doing children's clothes. I read one article, well, a woman, you know, Goldman Sachs, I don't know how many of you know of they have this project empowering about 10,000 African women, all right? So they have this course, they teach at Lagos Business School. So they subsidize the course, the women are supposed to just attend for a very little fee, you know, you learn a lot, all right? Then, anyway, one of the women that they were now taking to go and address either UN or the or board of directors meeting at of Goldman Sachs in New York was one woman from Lagos who makes more money. What does she make? More money. And I read her story. Why did she start making more money? I thought the school where she was working, she was a secretary of some sort. Either they laid her off or something, and she was helping her sister just to look after the house, so make food. And you know, along the line, she's just one day, the total amount of money she used to start that business was less than 1,000 naira. One decided to start making more money and go back to the same school where she used to work and stop near, just go there when the parents are coming to pick their children. Ah, madam, how are you? Good money. I have some nice money here. And they started buying money. And they like the money. She makes money. Anyway, cut the long story short. Now she's going to go and talk to Goldman Sachs, but you know, General Assembly or whatever. What are you? And I don't know about the making of money into prosperity in Nigeria. So I told that young woman that day. I said, "What can you do? Do you make clothes? Do you know it?